to do, thy will, O Lord. I delight to do thy will. And to walk with thee is not grievous unto me, for I delight to do thy will. I delight to do thy will, O Lord. I delight to do thy will. And to walk with thee is not grievous unto me, for I delight to do thy will.
Well, I'd like to exhort you in the word, and I have a title for our teaching today, and it's simply called Christian Obedience. Christian Obedience. One of the things that God does with us when we are saved, and certainly when baptized with the Holy Spirit, he starts to work with us obedience. And obedience to God is absolutely paramount. It's essential. Because if we do not learn to obey, if we do not consider it and see that it is the focal point of the Word of God, we soon run into trouble. A lot of our problems is because we don't obey. We argue, we debate, we're not sure. I'm not sure if it is of God or not. And we have all of these emotions and things come up. And God knows. He knows our weaknesses. He knows what he's bringing us out from. We live in a fallen world. We were fallen until Christ came and redeemed us and put that new nature within us. But that new nature that we have within us, that nature which is born again, it has to yield to obedience. In fact, that new nature, the new birth, desires, wants obedience. It will do anything for obedience. That is the nature that he's put within us. The same that was in Jesus Christ. He was obedient even to the cross, to the death of the cross. He was obedient to the Father's will. He learnt that. We're told in Hebrews 4 that he learnt obedience by the things that he suffered. So he had to go through trial. He had to go through training. He had to be taught by the Spirit exactly the same what God is doing with you and I. And when we are introduced to discipleship, the deeper life, we are introduced to obedience. And sometimes we forget this. For example, turn with me, if you will, to something familiar in Luke chapter 9 and verse 1. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he says, take nothing with your journey, no bread, no money, no clothes, He says, whatever house you stay there, stay and then move as the Spirit leads you. And he goes on to say, whoever receives you and who doesn't receive you, then remove the dust from your feet and move on. And so he goes on. And we know that Jesus, he really challenged discipleship. We know the story of where Jesus called those to come and follow him. And they said, well, let me first go and say farewell. Let me first go and bury my father. And notice they always put a but before it. Yes, I'll obey you, but. And we do the same. That but is because we still let common sense come in. And that is what our problem is. We battle common sense. Because common sense, after all, says, well, if you're going to on a journey or going to leave, you go and say goodbye to people or whatever it would be. That's what common sense says. Or if your father has just died or your mother, well, you pay your respects by going to the funeral and burying them. That is what the world, that is what common sense says. Common sense says an awful lot. But look how Jesus is not interested in common sense. He's showing a higher principle. He's showing obedience. You see, God's obedience always goes against common sense. And that is why we have to learn what the Spirit wants us to do. And sometimes it can come up several times until you learn to yield. Remember, yielding is the absence of resistance. It's not resisting when God is dealing with something, when God desires to do something through you. We will to will God's will. And so we yield over to it, whether it's common sense or not. It doesn't come into it. It's the revealed will of God that we yield to. You see, often we think about obeying God and we ask ourselves, what will be the consequences? Maybe some who will listen to this teaching today will say, yes, well, I hear what the pastor is saying and he's absolutely right. But if I start obeying in these areas that God wants of me, what is going to be the consequences as a result? Well, there is where we take up our cross daily and follow the Lord. The cross is there to deal with consequences. The cross is there to deal with common sense. The cross is there to deal with unbelief. God has made no mistake, brothers and sisters. The cross in your life, which you take up, which is the cross that Jesus went to and everything, is the wisdom and mind and mystery of Almighty God. There God was reconciling man to God through the cross. And God never makes a mistake. And so God may go against your common sense. Obedience may require one to risk everything. Your obedience outwardly could look as though you could lose everything. When Jesus set his face to the cross, he was prepared to lose everything in this life for eternal life and to reign at the right hand of his Father. And it's the same with us. It's complete abandonment upon God. That is why he calls us as sojourners. We're passing through. We're not of this world. We're not rooted in this world. We're not building our life, our future, our plans, our dreams in this world, like so many professing Christians are. They live like the world and act and just like the world. That's not how we're to be. That's why the apostle says in Ephesians that we're seated with him in heavenly places, high above principality, power and dominion. We're with him. Overcomers, the experience of an overcomer is one where we're living virtually in two dimensions. We're living in this world and we're living in heaven. And we're caught in between. That's why we're going to be raptured and caught away. We're going to be caught away because we don't belong anywhere, only in heaven and not this world. And yet that would cut right across common sense. That would cut right across family, wife, husband, your future, your plans, your building, your life in this world. Cuts right across it. And very few are willing to pay the price for this. And yet, look what God can and will do. You know, the question is, does this life give you a future? Have all your plans that you've been planning, have they all come to pass? No, they haven't. Things that you try and do doesn't work out. Hopes and dreams and aspirations, they haven't worked out, have they? I know they haven't, because that's why you're here today in this room. Because you're following Jesus. Because he's showing a better way, a future. He's showing eternity. The world cannot give you eternity. It can only give you joy for a moment. Only God can place that in your heart. And he does. So obedience may require one to risk everything. You know, it's interesting, but an old saint said this: we act like pagans in a crisis. Only when out of an entire crowd, there is one daring enough to invest in faith and the character of God. We act like pagans in a crisis. And there is only one in the entire crowd who is daring enough to invest in faith and the character of God. That is why few walk this, brothers and sisters. And when Jesus speaks this, and when he calls us to a walk of obedience, we just respond. We don't try and work it out. How is he going to do it? Whatever. God will do it. Because it's by his Spirit. He's well able to do it. And he will. Hallelujah. You know, we know scripture very, very well. But turn with me, if you will, to Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 12 to 13. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. So, when we're dealing with the nature of obedience, it's something that we take seriously. And it's something that we work out in fear and trembling. Why do I say that? Why does the apostle say this? Because obedience is not easy. Obedience will always look for some alternative, will always put a but in the way. And so we need to hear, we need to work our salvation out in fear and trembling. We need to understand that it is God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. There is the power of the Spirit. That's why the baptism of the Spirit is so essential. If you stay with this, God will work that in you. He knows you can't do it, but he'll work it within you. That is the deeper life, brothers and sisters. And that's why we have to be in faith and walk in faith and believe that God can and will and does do this, that he can achieve this within us. And that's why we have to have a life that is completely surrendered, the self-life surrendered up unto God. That complete trust that he will make grace available in order to do this. There is grace in verse 13. God working in you both to will do for his good pleasure. That is the grace and mercy of God. Thank God he's doing that in us, as we don't stand a chance. And that's why we don't earn our own salvation. It is a gift of God. And that's why we determine to set our face, our heart, to the cross and to take it up daily and follow him. We are determined for that unshakable faith. That unshakable faith that we have in that perfect redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God's will is your will. And you can't go against it. God's will is your will. And if you are one with him, then your will is his will. That is unity. That is fellowship. That is oneness. And that is what he's working. The same as he worked in his son, Jesus Christ. You see, your natural choices will be in accordance with God's will. And living this life will be as natural as breathing. You see, do you know what one of the biggest hindrances to obedience is? Stubbornness. You see, stubbornness is an unintelligent barrier. It's blocking the flow. And the only thing to do with stubbornness is to blow it up with dynamite. And do you know what that dynamite is? It's obedience to the Holy Spirit. Obedience blows up any stubbornness, any unbelief. It's dynamite. That is why I make so much about obedience. That is why so much was accomplished in Jesus' life. That is why he was so greatly used, and the apostle and all the apostles that followed him as well, and the early church. In the book of Acts, the Acts of the Holy Spirit, the Acts of the Holy Spirit are because of obedience. And obedience, it explodes, it dynamites all that unbelief, that stubbornness, that doubt, those things that we are plagued with. That's what it does. And we just do it. Whether it looks logical or not, whether it makes common sense or not, whether it appears outwardly, I'm going to lose everything, we obey God. Everything else flows as a result from that. That is an overcomer. That is the bride that is making herself ready. They are the first fruits that God is preparing to be brought in and placed upon the altar. It's all there. It's what we mean by giving up the self-life. We surrender it up, Romans 12, 1 and 2, which we know so well. And then we start to experience walking in the light, walking with God. For example, in 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 to 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 to 10. If we say that we have fellowship with him, we walk in. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So verse 10 says that if we say that we have no sin, we make him a liar, and you have no need of fellowship, you have no need of listening to the word. What's the point? You're perfect, but we're not. We're all on a journey. We're all working out our salvation in fear and trembling. And so we're here because we're learning. We're here because we're yielding, submitting to the Spirit, and we're allowing him to have his way within our lives. That is why the word is so essential, the anointed word. It's working in us, both to will and do for his good pleasure. It's working that faith, that obedience as we listen to the word. What does it say in 1 John chapter 2? Verses 1 to 6, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Here we are, obedience. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. God has called us to perfection. Be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. There is a completeness. It means to be completed, in other words. And here it is. Look how it's achieved. His word truly, the love of God is perfected in him. God's love is being perfected in and through each of us. The love of God is obedience. Because that is what it achieves. That is what it works. That is what your heart and soul and being is crying out for. If we really, really start to experience God's love, we won't keep looking to the world all the time and for security from the world, and always looking to man for that love when God gives it. He's the only one that fills that area within our heart, our being. That is the place for God in your life. No person can fill that. And rightly so. So there we are. It again, to walk in that light, to walk in that fellowship with him and each other. There has to be that desire, that want for obedience. You see, that's where it comes. There are a lot of who profess to be Christians. but they don't really have that want, that desire for obedience. And you see, if you want to be an overcomer, a first fruits, that is paramount. That has to be there within your heart. And you are prepared to pay whatever cost if it requires it. And God does test us on it. You can be well assured. Because by being tested, that's a sign to show that yes, it is working. Yes, he is working that obedience in you. How will you know otherwise? It's only just confession and reading it in scriptures. We don't know Philippians 2, 13 and 14 unless we're tested on it. And he will. And you will see what the Spirit is doing. What does it say in Romans 3, verse 20? It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So the law, the word of God, has to reveal not only sin, but it has to reveal the revelation of God's word, which also includes obedience. And of course, we know that the law could not achieve that. Israel was rebellious, stiff-necked. They didn't obey God. You read it. Their history is all there. Every time they disobeyed God, they fell into the hands of the enemy and God chastened them and so on. It's all about God wanting to get obedience from them. And then they would come back and repent and yes, we'll obey you, and it would only be for a season, and then back they go again. We've been like that. But God, in his mercy, doesn't give up on us. He's working that obedience within us because that keeps us in unbroken fellowship with him. What does it say in Romans 5 and verse 1? Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there we are. We are justified. We are made right. He has given us a standing before him. Jesus has paid the price for that. We are made right. We are redeemed. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And we have peace with God, and that peace is known within our hearts. And when you obey God and do God's will, that peace is always there. When we're wanting to do our own thing, wanting to plan our own life and go our own way, we find that that peace is not there as it should be. That's always an indication. When Israel disobeyed God, she fell from peace with God. And the enemy and the nations around her then came in and oppressed her. And it's exactly the same with us. When we don't want to obey God, then the hedge starts to come down. And then the enemy, the demons start to buffet. And then the battle's in the mind. And so it goes on. We know because we've been there. We've experienced it. It's interesting. I won't go much into it, but I will simply touch on it in passing. But this obedience that we're learning is also obedience to the law, the laws of the land, the government that you would find yourself under. That's why we pray for our governments. We don't rebel against them. We obey those in authority unless they would ask us to deny our faith. Then, of course, we stand firm on that and bear the consequences. We are obedient to our parents, slaves to masters. We even obey in the body of Christ and in fellowship. We're even in obedience to one another in fellowship. The same as I'm as obedient to you, you're obedient to me. We are to each other. That's what makes the body of Christ. You say to me, well, it seems a bit difficult online. It's not exactly what fellowship is. Well, God's still using it. Well, I could tell you one area of obedience I know that he requires from me, and that is to be faithfully here each week ministering the word. So that can only be achieved if one desires that obedience in one's life. And our obedience is that we pray, we intercede, we pray one for another, or if we put out prayer requests, that we would be faithful and get in prayer. Not just say, yes, we'll pray for you, and then you don't do anything about it. No, obedience is, I will pray for you. I am faithful. I will do it. I will go before my Heavenly Father. That's what obedience is about. So that you're found faithful and loyal. People who are faithful, who are loyal, often you will find there's obedience attached to their nature and heart before the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that is what it produces. What does Colossians chapter 3 verse 18 say? Remember, we're talking about Christian obedience today. Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 18 to 25. Colossians chapter 3 verses 18 to 25. Wives, submit to your own husbands as fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. So there we are, there's the divine principle in marriage. And that's why the responsibility of love is placed on the husband first. It's not put to the wife first. Husbands, love your wives. Because if he does, you will often find the wife will also. Because it's divine authority. And don't be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well pleasing to the Lord. Well, children have to be brought up to learn to obey, to learn to respect their elders, their parents and so on. It comes back to educating them, bringing them up in the ways of the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. In other words, don't keep picking on them, taking it out on them because you're angry or you've fallen out with the wife. Oh, there's so many men do that. They use their children as a type of punch bag. That is wrong. Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Well, you could also use that principle there when you work and to your boss and to your company. You give your all. You obey them because you're doing it unto the Lord. That's what's behind all this. My obedience is unto God for his glory. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So there you are. Your obedience is not to men, although you are doing it to men. It's to God. To the Lord, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. And there is no partiality. So you see, those that rebel, those that are disobedient, those that do wrong, they're going to be repaid. You will be repaid. What you sow is what you reap. And you see that principle in life. You see it in everyone's life in this world. The way they're living or what's happening or what they're going through or whatever it would be, that tells you how that person's life is, what they're sowing to. And for the Christian, we can sow to the Spirit. And that sowing to the Spirit is doing God's will. Obedience. That's what it means. What about Ephesians 6? The book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and verse 5. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And that's the key. You've got to do it from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And also to masters, you're to be good and to look after them, and so on. It's all there. It's all there, how we're to live, how we're to conduct ourselves. There's our ethics. We're not called to marches and to rebel and sign petitions and come against our governments and local leaders and whatever. No, we're called to pray. Now, if we know that things are wrong, governments are corrupt, leaders are corrupt, God has given you weapons, spiritual warfare. Your weapons are powerful, pulling down strongholds. God has given the church authority in which to do that. That is what we do. That is where we're active, in prayer, praying against these forces, and so on. And indeed, we've been doing it. We've had days of prayer where we've been uniting together, and we've been praying and interceding and getting into warfare. And we're seeing things happening. We're seeing things happening globally, and so on. You know, one of the problems, another problem to obeying, is spiritual idolatry. And this is a big hindrance, because it's a hindrance to yielding and obedience. You see, we desire completely from the heart to obey. We'll hear his voice and we'll begin to see, but we don't always obey it. You see, God placed Adam, Eve, didn't he, in the Garden of Eden. And he said, you can have everything, but don't take of the tree of life, of knowledge and wisdom. And of course, that's the very thing Eve partook of. The very thing God said, don't. And immediately their eyes were open. Their natures fell from the presence of God. They knew what God said. They had revelation. They heard the word of God. The same as you and I, we hear the word of God. They had a chance to repent, but they didn't. We have a chance to repent and get it right. And sometimes we don't always. In our pride, our stubbornness, our idolatry. And that is why you see the deeper life, the nature of the deeper life teaching is deliverance. It's delivering us. And a lot of that deliverance is a change of mind, a change of attitude, a change of thinking to how we once thought before. That is where a lot of our deliverance is. It's simply having a different attitude, a different thinking. It's our minds, our hearts harmonizing with God and his word and no longer resisting it or wanting to do my own thing. There's the difference, you see. That's why it says in Philippians, God works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. He's wooing us. He's influencing us. That's why it is so important to hear the word of God, because faith comes by hearing the word. That anointed word. That is what is important. We see the word of God is really to do two things. And the reason we come together for fellowship, the reason we come to listen to the word of God, it is doing two things in our life. It is first to get to our faith, to believe, and the second, to bring about obedience in our life. And if the word of God is not achieving that in the house of God, then it is failing. Because to believe, to have faith, and to have obedience, that is glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Obedience glorifies the Lord. Obedience is our light that we walk in. And yet, sadly, with so much idolatry in the house of God, that's anything but. And that is why we're getting this deliverance. This is why God is changing our mind, our thinking, our attitudes. He's lining our heart, our confession, with God's word and God's promises. That is why we confess the word of God. It is our confession, Romans 10. Romans 10 isn't just about confessing, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. That's part of it, yes. Our confession as a Christian, as a believer, is we confess the promises of God. We harmonize. We agree with it. We obey it. We live it. It is our spiritual food. Our manna that we partake of. The word of God is our life. That's what it is. That's what it means to agree. That's what it means to be a Christian. When I am confessing Christ as my Saviour, I'm confessing his will. I'm confessing obedience. It all goes with it. You can't just take part of it. You have to take the whole revelation of God's word. That's why I love the deeper life. Because it's the revelation of God's whole word. Hallelujah. And so like Adam, Eve, we too are hearing the voice of God. He speaks to us by the Spirit, by the unction. And we have a choice. And if you're making that right choice, then you're going to ask God, you're going to pray, you're going to seek him. Lord, work your will within my heart. Don't give up on me. Whatever I'm going through, whatever's happening, Father, work in me both to will do for your good pleasure. Whatever it will take, help me to make that right choice. Even if it means losing everything, it goes against common sense, so be it. All I live is for the will of God. You start praying that. You start confessing that before God and you'll start to see the power of God's Spirit starting to work with you. Because that is what makes an overcomer, you see. And that's why it says in James, you have not because you ask not. We're asking all the wrong things. Well, how about starting to ask that God will work that obedience, that yielding within your life? He won't turn you away on that. And you know something? The irony of it all is when you start praying a prayer like that, you believe it. You're not doubting it. And yet when you pray a prayer for healing or you stand on the promises for healing for yourself, God, don't we battle? But the moment we ask God to work obedience within us, faithfulness within us and everything, we don't doubt those prayers, do we? Why? Because we know, if we mean it, God will do it. That is why God is working with us like he is. He's getting us to ask the right things first. And then the blessings and those things that we have need of, they will come as you seek the kingdom of God. Our Father is the most generous, generous Father we could ever have. Oh, his nature is to give and give and give. And he could give no greater than the giving up of his Son to this world. That is his heart, his nature. Although it's free, it is not cheap. And all the promises have a basis to them. Believing, obeying, trusting. And if that's our desire, if that's what we want, then he's going to work that within your life. He will not turn you away, because obedience brings absolute delight to his heart. If you want to know your Father's heart and the delight that he has in you, you will know it if you obey him, because you will experience it like nothing else. And the irony of it all is, as you obey, you find you want to do it more and more and more, because you love him and he loves you. And it's not because you have to do it, because you want to do it. That's what love, true love, does. And that is what the Holy Spirit is working within you and I. He's working that. He's not demanding it, but he's showing us the best way as he's restoring us back in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. But all of this, our hearts have to change. Our hearts have to be touched. God has to do that deep work of change and deliverance within us. And let's end finally with some scriptures to show us what he's doing in Ezekiel chapter 11. Ezekiel 11 and verse 17. Here is where God speaks about restoring Israel. But this is how he works with us as well. Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they will go there, and they will take away all the detestable things and all the abominations from there. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, that they shall be my people and I will be their God. In other words, God's going to restore Israel back to obedience. And how's he going to do it? By putting a new heart within them, a new spirit, and they will be restored. That's how God works with you and I. It's the same principle. What does it say in Ezekiel chapter 18? Ezekiel 18, verses 31 to 32. 31 to 32 of 18. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore turn and live. And that is what we do. When we become born again and a new creation, we turn away, we turn around. Instead of turning to the world, we turn around and we turn with our face and heart and being to the kingdom of God, to eternity with him. It is a complete turning around. It is a heart change. But all of us are a work in progress, I know. And I know that Rome was not built in a day. And God's working within us and changing us. But it's all for the purpose that we believe, we trust and obey. That is what pleases our Heavenly Father more than anything. There are many, many professing Christians who are very, very busy doing Christian and religious works, but they don't necessarily obey God. They're busy. They're shallow. God calls us to a higher consecration, to walk with him in these last days as disciples, as overcomers. There's a walk to be found with God, and not all want it. Not all desire it, but it is there. And if you are tasting, and you are tasting of God, then something within you wants to walk with God. And you can, and you will, and you will walk with him because you have settled obedience in your life. Heavenly Father, thank you for the power of your Spirit. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you, Lord, that you show that you work in us both to will do for your good pleasure. Father, our desire is to walk with you in that fellowship, in that covenant. Father, help us to yield. Help us not to fight, resist. Father, help us just to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, to do that work which you've come to do. You've come by your Spirit to take over in our lives, to fundamentally work that obedience that pleases you. Lord, may we never lose sight of that. Whatever we go through, whatever it costs us, whatever, may we settle that obedience in our lives, just as Jesus did. Because if he didn't obey, we would not be here today in fellowship. That would be for certain.
Of God.